Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. We're continuing on with our series today, and today we'll be going over help. Worship, work, help, submit, fear nothing, and love. In the past few weeks, we've gone over worship and work. So today we are on to our next word, help.
So can we talk about vacation for a minute?
Oh, I guess so. We're going to talk about our vacation. We just got back a couple days ago from going to Gulf Shores, Alabama, and it was wonderful. We loved it there.
Yeah, it was really fun. We had a good time with family, friends. We got to spend a lot of time in water, swimming. I got to go fishing, which was a first for me.
And then we got to eat red snapper.
Yes.
After that, that Jared caught.
Really good time. All the kids got along well. There wasn't one fight with any of the children.
Well, it wasn't just our family. We went with four families? Five families? How many families?
Well, five families ended up hanging out because the Ramseys showed up. Yeah. But we were invited to go and had a really great time. It was just families from church and then Ben and Marlena from Alabama, who had to move there last year.
It was really cool just seeing all the kids get along so well. And just a group of kids, it's like everyone was having good behavior, and how sweet it is when brothers dwell in unity.
Yeah, it was really neat.
Yeah, I just kept thinking about that, just how sweet it is whenever a bunch of families are dwelling in unity. It was just really awesome. I loved it.
It also breaks up the narrative of people who say homeschoolers don't get social life because they're friends and they are running around together and playing. And it was, I mean, they're together all the time, but they just love being with their friends, and they get to be with their friends literally all the time.
There was a lot of jellyfish, which was surprising to me. And another
small
thing,
stings, I think, that people got.
Another thing that was, a lot of people got stung by jellyfish while we were there, but it wasn't bad. Like, it was like a wasp sting or less, it seemed like.
Just a little red mark that would develop. Really a whelp.
Yeah, and kids didn't even cry. They were just like, oh, we got stung by a jellyfish. What? I was expecting, kind of being sick for the day, because there must be different jellyfish in different areas of the world, because my dad got stung by a jellyfish in Mexico once, and it was, like, bad.
Oh, I saw somebody get stung it was a buddy of mine that got stung, like, right under his chest and around his side, and it was a huge red whelp. Yeah. I mean, it was massive. Maybe that's just the different sizes of jellyfish.
Maybe different, breeds.
But nobody peed on the jellyfish. You know, we were all joking about it.
Yeah, I was saying someone should pee on you, but no one actually did that.
Is that actually real? Or is that folklore?
I think it is. I think it's something about, like, the acidity or something. Because you can pour vinegar on
a jellyfish
sting. So, vinegar, urine, or sea salt all are supposed to help with jellyfish sting. So if you get stung by a jellyfish, you should stay in the water.
Jordan and our kids are definitely beach people. I enjoy vacations to the beach because my family does, but it's
Jared
not necessarily my favorite thing.
Sensory disorder whenever he gets in sand and can't handle the sand. He hates it real bad.
I'm just not the biggest fan. Was riptides that were going.
There was a red flag.
And then we find out when we get back, there's some shark attacks out there. So,
but
near us, not actually really close to us, but around in the Gulf. Yeah, so I mean, there's millions of people on the beach.
One of the coolest things that we did that you didn't even get to do because you went to bed early that night because of the
Dramamine. Oh yeah, I took Dramamine for the fishing trip.
Yeah, so we went out after dark and went crab hunting.
That sounded
fun. And it was so fun and hilarious and so much shrieking and giggling. And
our boys were really brave grabbing
our boys were so brave. So there's tons of people out on the beach with, like, headlamps and flashlights walking around right when it gets dark looking for a crab, and they all have nets and buckets, and we're just out with our hands and our phone flashlights. And so, like, these families that were not with our group came over and they were like, are your kids just grabbing those crabs? And we're like, yep. And they just show they're just holding these crabs with their hands, getting pinched and shrieking and throwing them down and then grabbing them again.
Were they impressed by that?
Yes, very impressed.
Oh my.
But most of them we caught were really small, so it's not like it was gonna hurt you too bad. And some of them are like the size of a spider. They're so tiny. And they're just so fast, and they, like, jump over your feet, and you're jumping and shrieking, and it was hilarious and so much fun.
So I was recommended to take Dramamine the night before and then an hour before going out on the boat. I'm glad I did because even with two rounds of Dramamine, it was supposed to be non-drowsy Dramamine too, but it really still wasn't. We fell asleep, and Daniel did too. So on the way out to fish, I fell asleep. On the way back, we fell asleep.
Yeah.
And we were knocked out.
Yeah.
So I didn't make it to the crab, finding mission. Mm-hmm.
But it was very fun. And you enjoyed the fishing too, even though you were sleepy, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was really cool. My favorite part, though, was when all the boys were having a competition jumping into the pool. And I was the football thrower, so I threw the football, and they'd have to dive into the pool to catch it.
So the best part about that was that you were acting like a sports announcer during this. You were the thrower and acting like a sports announcer. She'd be like, Graham, up next!
Yeah.
Is he gonna make it?
Yeah.
And all the crowd that was sitting around the pool was getting really involved.
I tried to get the crowd involved.
Yeah.
And they did.
The strangers that were just like enjoying a peaceful afternoon
at the beach, and they started cheering like it was the Super Bowl or something.
Yeah. Oh, it was a good
time. I think I did annoy one person that was in the hotel room because somebody opened the door and said something. And I think it may have been
I don't think they were talking to you.
You don't think?
No.
Okay. At the time I thought he was telling me to be quiet. Which is a possibility.
It is possible that someone may have wanted you to quiet down a bit.
It wasn't that early, though. It was like...
No, it was in the afternoon.
Was it afternoon?
It was the afternoon. Yeah, it was after lunch.
I was thinking it was in the morning, but... No. Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, we're talking about helping today.
Yeah. Okay. So, that was some high points for our vacation. So, I think this should have probably came out last week, but... Well, is that right?
It's all right.
Is that every 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Things are about to get way more on time
with
the Fruitful and Fearless podcast.
Lots of neat things developing.
Yeah, some cool things coming up, so stay tuned. Let's start talking about being a help.
Okay.
Genesis 2:18-23 says, Then the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now, out of the ground, the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. So we see in this account of creation of woman that she was created with the intent of being a helper, that God saw that it was not good that man was alone, that he needed a helper. So to solve that problem, he created woman to be helper. So I think as we are thinking about women and our role in the world and why we're created and all that, we should definitely keep in mind that the reason that God created woman was to be a helper. That is within our DNA. To help.
I mean, that's what you're always saying to Providence.
Yeah.
Girls are helpers.
Yeah. I think I said that on one of the other episodes, but I say this to Providence a lot. Whenever we see someone doing something that she could help with, I'm like, oh, you should help them. Girls are helpers.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, girls are helpers.
And that's neat because she's identifying that before she's married, because that in the same way that nurturing is in the heart of a woman, helping is also there, given by God to the woman before she's married even, that preparation is there where she's learning to help. And we see that in the lives of a lot of the ladies in our church and the young single ladies in our church, is that they're already helping in so many ways.
It's in our nature. So that's why you see in little girls that you don't have to teach them to enjoy carrying a baby doll around. Mm-hmm. Or you don't have to teach them to pretend to shush a baby. Or like Pravi would put a baby doll up to her and pretend like she's nursing. She's observed me doing these things, and she wants to do that too. It's in her nature, and she desires to do that, and never once has our boys ever done those things.
Yeah.
Not because I told them not to, but they just never have, because it's not in their nature the same way that it is in a woman to be nurturing and helping. Providence wants to play kitchen. She wants to play house. She wants to... hold baby dolls and take care of things and help her brothers and help me with things because it's within her. Because yeah. God created her and me and every woman on the face of the earth to be a helper and a nurturer, and those things are really intertwined.
Yeah.
So we should not deny our nature and say that no, we're not a helper, that everyone should gather around me and help me. We should know that our lives, the way that we best flourish is when we are helping others, when we are laying our lives down for others. And a lot of these things are overlapping with men. Of course, men, they lay their life down for their lives down for their family in different ways. Yeah. But as I am kind of going through this, don't think in your mind, but men do that too, because of course there are overlaps. But
yeah.
This episode particularly is going to be how a woman is a helper.
Well, and I know we're going to get to this here in a little bit, but to prime the conversation, God gave the cultural mandate, the creation mandate, to the man and the woman. And the man and the woman are both required to get that done. So the man is primarily the one that's leading the way with work, particular kinds of work, and mission and direction. And then just think about the household, where if the man is doing that, and as far as bearing fruit and multiplying, taking dominion, how do you do that in the context of the home with also the mandate of providing for the home? Well, that's where the male and female come together as one, one flesh. And the woman brings the cultural mandate in the context of the home and brings order out of chaos, order out of disorder. A home without a mother, a home without a father, but specifically we're talking about the context of helping here, is a home that is disordered and chaotic. It's the requirement of the male and female to bring the cultural mandate in the home is evidenced by a godly woman who brings order out of that chaos, where there's health, there's growth, there's raising children as they are to be raised in the Lord, and there's order that would be there, that is there. And if you remove the wife, the woman, that order goes away. It's required.
So we shouldn't be ashamed of the title of helper. A lot of times when you think of helper, you think of like a lesser little sidekick, like, oh, that's cute. Come here, my little helper, like a child or something. But I think that instead we should frame it in our minds as helper in the same, not in the same way, but in a similar way that the Holy Spirit is also called a helper.
Yeah.
That in John 14:26, we see Jesus say, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I've said." So when we think of helper, don't think like, oh, that's cute. Come here, little toddler. Help me pull these weeds. You be my helper. But instead, think of how the Holy Spirit empowers believers.
Mm-hmm.
The Trinity gives us an illustration of how magnificent the role of a helper can be.
Yeah. So the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer brings glory, brings honor. The life of the believer is empowered and transformed through the work of the Holy Spirit. And where the woman is acting and doing what God has called her to do, she brings power and glory into that space. Wherever that space is, she empowers the people within that square footage to do what God has called them to do. And in doing so, she's doing what God has called her to do. So as she is helping others be obedient to do what God has called them to do, she's doing what God is calling her to do.
Yeah. So a helper empowers through her obedience to helping. She empowers obedience in others.
Absolutely.
So like the Holy Spirit empowers believers, women can have a great empowering effect to the household.
Think about the context of a home with a godly woman and what the result is in that household. And then think about a home that doesn't have a godly woman in it and what is happening in that household. Now, certainly God's sovereignty is at work, and God can do miraculous things through unhealthy situations. But where there is a godly woman, the people around her are incredible people because there is power there. And that's what we want for every lady listening in and every daughter listening in. We want you to be what God has called you to be. And then the fruit of that is going to be a lot of beauty and glory around you.
Yeah, so when families are fed, clothed, educated, encouraged, emboldened, helped, they're empowered to the glory of God to do really great things. And we do this not for the glory of ourself, of like, oh, look how well I've dressed my children, or look how well we've prepared this meal, but it's to the good and the glory of God and the people around us. We do it for their good, for their glory. Like in our service and our work for our home, we do it for the good and the glory of the Lord. You can think about how a family can flourish from a woman that is helping, that's laying her life down, and how a household can shrivel from a selfish woman that's only seeking her own glory and not laying her life down. And sadly, it not only, that selfish spirit that is not willing to help, not only makes the household shrivel, it makes the woman herself shrivel. It's this, he who waters others will himself be watered. Whenever we refuse to water others, we ourselves are actually shriveling.
Yeah.
That when we think that, you know, I'm just going to seek my own glory and I'm going to try, I got to take care of myself first. And we have this mindset of self and just self-care in the wrong way. We actually are hurting ourselves and not getting the empowering that we need from the Lord. But we must lay our lives down, seek the good of others, serve God and our families, help through this and giving ourselves and trusting that God is watering us.
Yeah. How this is demonstrated in our life. So I've been a pastor for 15 years now, and it wasn't necessarily your first desire to be a pastor's wife.
No, actually, it's funny because it actually was my last. My dad was a pastor growing up, so I knew what it was like to be in a pastor's family. Not that I had a bad growing up experience. I have wonderful parents, but I just knew that it was hard, and yeah. I knew that it could be painful, and I knew all the downsides of being in a pastor's family as well. And so I remember saying at one point, like, I just don't want to marry a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's exactly what God had for me.
That's right. You saw me wearing those jeans and you said, oh, I want that guy.
Oh my gosh.
My jeans fit well, apparently.
Yeah, they did. But anyway.
But the neat thing is that you have been, and you've brought so much health, even just our family, which is a requirement for me to be qualified to be in pastoral ministry. One of the things one of my co-pastor, Andy, said is that a woman cannot qualify a man for ministry, but she can certainly disqualify him from ministry. And you have been a helper to me in the work that God has called me to do. It wasn't you that was called to be a pastor, it was me. And you've been a tremendous force for good in our life and in our family. And that's what every single woman is called to be for her husband, is to be a help and a force for good for their home and to help their husband succeed in what God has called him to do. And there is beauty in that.
Yeah, so we look to our families and see, what has God called our families to do? What are we seeing God calling our husbands to do? What are we seeing God calling our children to do? And we look to these things and say, Lord, how can I be a helper?
Mm-hmm.
How can I see what they need? We lay our lives completely down for the sake of the good of the people around us. What a glorious thing that is, to get to the end of your life and see, it wasn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about me, but it's about these people that God put around me and about God's glory. And he used me to help kick the ball further down the field for the Lord.
And here's the thing. The most fulfilling and happy life you can possibly live is living according to the commands of God.
Yeah.
And this is not to be justified. I mean, we're grown-ups here. We know and understand justification. If you don't, we're justified by the work of Christ alone. And then it's our great joy to obey. The Great Commission is all about baptizing and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And the commands of God are not burdensome. But they're the lie of the enemy and the lie of the antinomian spirit, the lawless spirit, is that God's law is always going to crush you. And if you're trying to be justified by God's law, well, yeah, of course. But if you don't have a category of the law of God is not burdensome to the believer, but there's joy and freedom, and it is sweeter than honey. And this is where you find life. This is not justifying work, but it is joyful and glorious work.
Yeah. There is such joy and such sweetness and just such the kind of experiences in life that you can't put words to because they're so beautiful in giving yourself for others and obeying God and serving him. It's like God gives you these moments that are like, man, I can't even talk about it because it's so sweet. Women are created to be helpers. It's in our nature. The people around us better flourish in that, and God gets glory from it.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we should probably wrap it up with that. And
What?
One more thing I did want to talk about that I thought is really cool. In the Wingfeather saga that we're reading right now, the boys and I have been reading this out loud for a while now. We're on the last book now, so I can't recommend the entire series, I guess, because I'm only halfway through the fourth book, but it's been really good so far. So I highly recommend The Wing Feather Saga by Andrew Peterson if you haven't heard of it yet. In it, there's two brothers and a sister, and the firstborn in Aniera, this world that they live in, the firstborn is not the king. He's the throne warden. And the secondborn is the king. And then the Lily is the song maiden, but that's a whole other story. But it's really cool, this concept of Janner, the firstborn, his life is all about protecting the secondborn. And he gives his life as a protection and a service to the king, his little brother. And like you see all through the book, Tink's shortcomings. That's the little brother. You see his shortcomings all through the book. And Janner just, even though there's frustration and annoyances and stuff, he gives his life to serve it. Like, he knows his purpose is to take care of his little brother. But he knows that it is his little brother's right to be the king. And there's something just really beautiful about that, of like, it doesn't matter that Janner was older. He knew that it was his duty to help his brother and to, like, ensure that Tink would be king. Mm-hmm. And there's just such a nobility in that, of like knowing that you don't have to have your way, but just quietly doing your duty and knowing that there's a bigger plan than what you can see, even. Like, knowing in the Christian's life, knowing that God's sovereign and he's in control and he's much wiser than you. Who are you, clay, to say back to the potter, why did you make me this way? Mm-hmm. Like, in the same way, like, who are you, clay, to say to God, why did you make me a helper? You know, mm-hmm. I could have been much better as the tip of the spear. And just knowing, like, there's a great nobility in trusting the Lord and doing your duty. And that God will take care of you, that mm-hmm. you don't have to try to solve all the world's problems, but that you can trust God and just do a good job with what he's called you to do, yeah. which is be a helper.
It's good.
Be a throne warden.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So anyways, that is Help. And let's see, what will we do next week? Submit.
Submit.
And actually, I'm going to try to get these out a little quicker. So maybe I'm going to go ahead and say that. I'm going to go ahead and say. I'm going to say it so we hold ourselves to it.
Okay.
I'm going to try to get Submit out sooner than in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So good. Thank you for listening.
Hey everyone, we want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.